Ladies and gentlemen, you are now entering the Decent Christian Talk podcast. Enjoy.
Decent Christian Talk episode number 82.
82. Is that Antoine Randall?
It is Antoine Randall L. I am not Antoine Randall. I'm Gabe Jones.
I'm Josiah Jones. And here's Brendan.
Oh.
He's not here.
Not here yet. He'll be here later.
Okay.
Yeah, so we are in... Where are we at?
We are in the 13 Palm Trees podcast studios. I was a little bit blank there because I thought, man, well, you just said we're at 82 episodes.
We have to give them a plug because they have a nice setup here. Check them out on social media. They help us out a lot. Hey, this is a show by the fans, for the fans, and we're just a bunch of fans that love music, good music, and we've got a great show for you today because one of our favorite artists of all time is on the show today.
And it's not Brendan. It is...
Well, he is on the show.
He is on the show later. But it is the one, the only, Kevin Max.
Yes. Kevin Max from DC Talk fame. Kevin Max from...
Kevin Max fame.
Fame, yes.
From Winter Woods fame. From playing games with the imposter.
Yes, playing games with the shadow.
Dang it.
Yes. I think the tribute album was called Playing Games with the Imposter.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I put those two together there. Don't hate me.
We will have that more... Later in the show, Kevin Max will be joining Brendan and I, and that will be a fun Irish excursion.
Yeah, there's going to be do you guys have accents when you...
You know, we recorded that kind of late at night, so it's possible we descend into that as the interview goes on.
Okay.
So, before we head into that, we need to talk about our Patreon page, especially because since the last time we recorded, we made a couple awesome changes.
Oh, indeed. Tell us about those.
So, yeah, we decided to make things a little bit, I don't know, give you a little bit more bang for your buck, as they say, because we value you guys. So let me tell you guys about the tiers that we have decided to do, and it is a fun thing, because... Back in the day when we started this Patreon campaign, we decided to do bonus episodes at $10 a month. And that was cool. I mean, that was a good way to start it out. But we decided, hey, we think you guys deserve more for your hard-earned cash. So we decided to make bonus episodes available for $5 a month.
So, now, it's cheaper than ever, and not only that, Gabe has been texting me constantly. He has more and more ideas on how to make the bonus content even more bonusy, so there are good things on the horizon.
And there's a lot of great, fun people that have contributed to that $5 total so far. People like Maria, and
she now gets all the bonus content.
Lorena and Michael. Thanks for the coffee pot, Michael.
Thanks.
And Leslie and Jody. Those guys help us out. They get a shout out every show because they help us out there. And we've got a fun bonus episode for you today because we're going to be talking about a throwback album. And we're kind of keeping with the theme today. We're going to be talking about DC Talk's Supernatural album today on the bonus episode.
Yes.
Yeah, so you don't want to miss that. And we're also going to be giving our own picks for our album of the week, a little kind of a more recent pick for us.
I'm excited to talk about mine. And I don't know what yours is yet, but I bet mine is better than yours.
That's possible. And we may even throw a little bonus Kevin Max excerpt in there that doesn't make this show. So you'll want to check that out. $5 a month. You can have the bonus episodes, and we're going to make that fun for you guys. So what do we do with the $10 a month thing? I mean, we didn't just delete that level.
That's a good question. Why don't you explain?
So, we decided, hey, $10 a month, you know, that's a lot of money. And you guys still get the bonus episodes for $10 a month.
That is true.
But now, every 6 months, if you're a $10 a month contributor, I think we're going to do every 6 months. We may even do it more frequently. I'm not sure yet. But at least every 6 months, you get to pick an artist that we've had on this show, and we will send you an album of your choice.
Now, are we going hard to copy. Do that?
Hard copy?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes.
They don't make those as much anymore.
So you get to choose any artist that we've had on this show. You can go through the archives. Anything that kind of scratches your back, anything that makes you happy, and you want to check out more of their stuff, say, hey, I've always wanted to hear more from them. Send me this album, and we'll do that.
Or if you love Kevin Max and you have a particular favorite album.
Yeah, maybe there's an album that you don't have from Kevin Max. Just tell us, and we'll send it to you.
There you go.
And that's the exclusive, brand new DCT Music Club, and you can be a part of that for $10 a month. And all this money we use to keep the show on the air, we keeps the water in the toilets running, flowing.
So at $10, you get bonus episodes and music?
Yes.
I like that. I like the sound of that.
Yeah. And we already have someone that's joined us on that level, and you could be the next person. And you could do that at patreon.com/decentchristiantalk. We would greatly appreciate that. That helps us stay on the air. That helps us pay the bills. And we greatly appreciate your help. That's why we're still doing what we do. And we want to continue to do that. And we can do that with your help.
Yes.
So thank you. Again, check that out at patreon.com/decentchristiantalk. If you can't do the $5 or $10 a month, we understand that's a lot of money. You can even join our team for as low as $1 a month. And every little bit helps.
Or you could just share the podcast with a friend and
yes.
Leave us a review on iTunes.
That would greatly help, too. All right, Kevin Max. He is a legend.
Legendary hair.
Legendary voice.
Legendary beard.
Yes.
Legendary dance moves.
And this is a lengthy interview because when you get three Irish guys together, it just tends to happen like that. So we are going to get out of the way and let you listen to this. Without further ado, here is our interview with Kevin Max.
All right, hit that horn, babe. Let's dance.
Cool, I got you both. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yep.
So yeah, you had a busy 2018.
I did. kind of. You know what I mean? Like it's all subjective for me. You know how I am. I don't like to stop production on music. But yeah, we did some fun shows in 2018 and couple of cool little projects. Romeo Drive was a lot of fun, and speaking of Romeo Drive, my friend Donovan McDaniel is literally sending me some things in the mail here a couple days from now. They're starting to get somewhere on the animated version, so the animated version will be out like right around the time of the DC Talk cruise, even though I can't really play it on the cruise because it's a little too I would say it's probably a little progressive for some people, but it's super super cool from what I could tell so far, so I'm excited about it.
I gotta tell you, Kevin, I was listening to Romeo Drive on the way over here, and I know you did most of this yourself, but the production on it is just incredible for it being an album that you didn't have the whole production team like you would normally have and all that. It is a phenomenal album.
Thanks, man. Yeah, AWOL was like a real album, kind of like, you know, Broken Temples or what some of the bigger records that I've done. But Romeo was cool because literally like all those demos are almost verbatim like what you hear in Chris from Service Unicorn's version. He just has a different rig, and he actually took a few of them, kind of went a little different rhythm wise, but not much. And he's just so fantastic at that analog thing, you know.
Yeah.
And it gave it another personality, and I love that about it. Yeah.
I don't think people understand how hard it is to be good, to truly be good at analog and synth keywork.
Yeah, he's pretty phenomenal. I mean, he's probably, in my opinion, one of the best ones I've heard. And I've worked with a lot of guys that do that. Tony Miracle, of course, who played on Playing Games with a Shadow. He did Girl with the Tiger Eyes program, and then, you know, he also did some stuff. What was the record after that? I can't even think now. I've got too many records. But anyways, you know, Tony was in a band called Venus Hum, and Venus Hum was, like, really big here in Nashville before they split up, and they were known as the synth people of Nashville. And, I mean, you know, I've had the good fortune of running into some really, really great players. But and, in fact, on Panic Button, if you remember that song on Playing Games with a Shadow, that was a guy that used to do keys for Luna Halo. And when Luna did, like, their last two records, that they did the big record where they had a record deal and everything, his name is Matt, and he's an incredible keyboard guy too. But Chris, you know, Stewart, he just has a vibe. It's very different than anything else I've ever heard. Even when Depeche Mode kind of went analog with one of their last albums that they did, he's even deeper than that, in my opinion. So anyways, yeah.
So 2019, I know you've got things coming in the windshield. You've got things on the peripherals. What's going on?
Oh man. Well, we started out this year wanting to tackle this Larry Norman project, and yeah. Over the last year and a half, I've become friends with his son, and we've talked back and forth quite a bit, and he brought some people to the table that were close personal friends of Larry's that I've now become friends with, and we all want to make this record happen. The problem is, as you know, Pledge Music kind of has gone down the tubes, and that's what I've used for my last four, you know, crowdfund projects. So I really couldn't use Pledge this time, and it kind of backed me into a corner a little bit. Like, I was like, am I gonna do Kickstarter? And I'm not really familiar with Kickstarter, so I'd have to look at it. And it just kind of scared me a little bit. I was like, I don't really want to do that. I want to, okay, let me try to get a label. And then when I approached a couple of labels about it, they were just like, oh, man, nobody gets Larry Norman, you know. And I'm like, well, yeah, it sounds like something that a label won't get. So I'm kind of, you know, I'm stuck between a rock and a hard spot with this one, just kind of going, how am I going to start it, you know. And a lot of times you need, you know, a team to get something going. Like in the case of AWOL, you know, Pledge was still kind of kicking, and Kieran Kelly came out of nowhere and just kind of, he approached me and he said, hey, I want to make this record with you. And I was like, cool, I didn't know who he was from Adam, you know. And he flew into town, and this is when I lived on the farm. He flew in and, you know, I put him up at the farm, and we hung out for a couple of days and wrote a couple of songs. And we wrote Melissa from AWOL, and then we wrote Yeshua together. And I was like, man, this guy's really great. And so then he talked me into coming to New York, and that's when we got Andy Rourke of the Smiths together and you know, Matt Johnson. And that was like a full team of people that put that out, you know, or helped put that out. So it's kind of what I need on this Larry Norman thing, and it's a little bit confusing to me right now if I'm going to be able to pull that off, you know. You know, just in time for the end of the year kind of thing. I mean, it's going to be made, but I don't know when it'll be out there. But In the meantime, or in the meanwhile, what's the correct terminology or grammar? Meantime or meanwhile? I think it's meanwhile, right?
Yeah, it'd be meanwhile. Yeah. we'll go with that.
Thanks for helping me with that.
The Irish Council has agreed. So continue.
Wow. So see, true Irish would make up their own word, you know. So,
true.
You know, I've been working on a couple of different projects. Out of the blue, this guy named Brian Oxley kind of showed up on my radar and started having me do projects. And I sang on an Elvis documentary for him a couple of weeks ago. And then I sang on a song that everybody will be seeing in a little bit called Baby Moon. And it's a really interesting song about everything from adoption to losing a child it's just got this really beautiful message to it. And I didn't write the song, but they asked me to sing on it, and I just find myself doing these odd jobs that I end up really, really loving as a singer. So I'm doing that. I am working on a project with Michael Tate right now, of which we can kind of let the cat out of the bag and say that, you know, we're getting together a Christmas project together, which we've talked about for years and years and years, called Black and White Christmas. And, you know, he's going to be doing his thing. I'm going to be doing my thing, and we're going to try to make it really, really, really classic. And the thing about that is that, you know, Christmas albums kind of get me down because a lot of them are lame, you know?
Right.
So we were like, hey, let's make a Christmas album that's going to compete with all the albums that we love, you know, from Bing Crosby to Frank Sinatra to Nat King Cole. And we said, if we can't do that, then we won't put it out, you know? So it's almost kind of like a challenge to us to go, let's make a record that is so, you know, and it sounds kind of egotistical, but let's make a record that is so classic sounding that we can't beat it, you know? And so I'm kind of trying to take over Michael Bublé. I'm trying to crowd him out.
Well, from what I understand, he's retiring, so there's going to be an open vacancy. So
yeah, I thought that too, and then he said he wasn't retired.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We're going to have to retire him with this record.
Do it.
You know.
Is a Winter Woods 4 looking like a possible Tate K-Max collab? Is that possible?
That's a great question. We're so early into this thing right now that I'm not sure, but that's something that I would definitely think would happen, at least a guest kind of a scenario. And my thought would that we would definitely do our own show, you know, so that might take the place of Winter Woods, where we do a full-blown show, Tate and I, you know. But I mean, that it's a little soon to know, because, you know, he's on the road. You know, I haven't been able to. We've had a couple of meetings. We've found a producer. We found an arranger. We know who's going to make the record. Now it's just kind of like getting all the songs together. And we've already been shooting songs back and forth to each other. And we have a date to sing the first one, I think, at the end of this month. Kind of exciting stuff, you know, because, you know, I'm going to be on the cruise and singing with him. And, you know, I'm going to be possibly, I'll say that with put it in parentheses, but I think it's going to happen, singing with him on the fall tour for a few shows, just kind of showing up as a guest and doing some shows with him in the fall. But to me, this eclipses all those things. It even eclipses DC Talk, in my opinion, because it's just something that we've been wanting to do for so many years, and I feel like it's a tragedy we haven't done it yet. Just as two vocalists that harmonize better than, you know, than most people.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, the style and the, I mean, you talking about doing the classics just lends for you two to just soar. I mean, that you can't ask for a better opportunity there for you guys to truly shine and show off your vocal prowess. That's really cool.
Yes. Yeah. But, you know, and I appreciate you saying that, because that is such a huge part of it, is singing. But also the part of this thing that's really tricky is picking the songs that, you know, can be conversational live too, that could really come off as a show, because there's so many songs that have been so cheesed out by people that you just kind of don't want to touch them. But there might be some latitude and longitude for us to do them if we do it right, you know.
Yeah.
John Painter came up with he's been dropping things that make me laugh, but he's like, you know, you guys need to do Mary Did You Know. And I'm like, oh man. I'm like, you know, this is just one of those songs where I'm like, no, I can't do that. No.
Well, I was just gonna ask you if you guys were gonna do Last Christmas, so
yeah, you know, I would do Last Christmas on a Kevin Max record. I don't know if it would work on this jazz kind of, you know, 40s, 50s kind of vibey thing.
I think you guys.
I mean,
we could do
a throwback retro version of it, but I don't know. Christmas is so synonymous with that time period.
Oh yeah,
George Michael's voice. I mean, you know.
Well, while you guys are in the studio, you might as well do it as a one-off track that people can buy separately, because the two of you together on that would be amazing as well. The pop vocal there would be great.
Yeah, yeah. There's so many that we've thrown back and forth. I mean, we're definitely going to have to do the Bing Crosby, David Bowie duet.
Oh, yeah.
Do it right, you know. But, you know, there's the big songs that Nat King Cole did that Tate would sound amazing doing. You know, there's a couple that I love that are, you know, kind of like the staple Bing Crosby tunes that I love, you know. So, well, we shall see.
Yeah, even a song like The War Is Over, I think, would be really fun for you guys.
Yeah. Keep in mind, you know, it's all kind of Rat Pack kind of where it's crooners kind of thing.
Oh, I know.
And I think we could turn a song like that into a crooner song. I mean, you know, I try to do that with Starry Eye Surprise. And the funny thing is about that record, as I could have gone all the way with that, but I got sidetracked picking, like, really, you know, crazy 80s songs. And then it was like, you really can't make a Smith song crooner, you know, necessarily, you know, without destroying it. So,
well, it just sounds to me like you guys are going to have to do a Christmas album for the next 2 years, and the one of crooners, and then next year you can do the pop stuff. So there you go.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Good thought. Yep, good thought.
Problem solved.
So getting back to the Larry Norman thing, I mean, that's, you know, he's been around, you know, since the 70s. I know, you know, he passed away. There was a bestseller that was written about him just last year. What exactly is this thing with the label saying that people don't get him? I think now, to me, it seems like he's bigger than ever, honestly.
Well, I think that from our label's perspective, they're all about, you know, like, is it going to be something that everybody relates to? And I think that the Larry Norman situation is, it goes to a certain crowd, but the crowd that most labels pitch to right now are a lot younger and a lot, you know, a lot more specific when it comes to radio.
Soccer mom.
And so Larry Norman, you know, I mean, even if I did like a radio version of one of his songs, which I wouldn't do, would be hard pressed to put, you know, something on the radio that's talking about, you know, gonorrhea on Valentine's Day. You know what I'm saying? People, you know, or even sipping whiskey from a paper cup. People have a problem with that too. So it's like, you know, with Larry, his lyrics were so honest and so revealing and raw that, you know, radio is just going to back away unless it's general market radio, like an alternative rock thing. But then not many people in that genre know who Larry Norman is. So it's just kind of a little bit of a conundrum.
Yeah,
is the word that comes to my mind.
Yeah. How do you get around
a quandary? But who knows? I mean, you know, somebody might come along and just go, you know, I really love this idea. Regardless, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it if I have to do it myself. But I just wanted a team behind it that could really, you know, believe in it, have vision for it. Because, I mean, the idea is only visiting this planet. So it's just doing that entire record from start to finish. But within that record, there are so many great songs. It's unbelievable, you know. The Great American Novel, just by itself, is so relevant to what's happening right now, you know.
I know you've also been putting some demos on SoundCloud within the last few weeks. What are your plans with those songs? Are you looking to release a record with those songs, or where are you steering this ship?
Oh, man. Well, I mean, you know, both of you guys are in the fiefdom, and I just want to say, like, you know, big ups to Fockham. You know what I mean? It's like the fiefdom will rage on the cruise. I'm making T-shirts.
Indeed.
But I've got so many records that are already made that are sitting on my Logic that you would crack up, Gabe. If you came over to my studio and I just played you stuff that I have in my Logic. I mean, I have two or three records ready to go.
Was that an invitation?
That sounded like an invite.
It's an invite. Let's do like a radical one of these where I play you, you know, all of my demos, and it'll be like a 5-hour sit down, you know, and you can go through them all and go, you know, that's a good one. That one, not so much. But I have a record that's finished called Melodrama, which is very psychedelic 60s rock thing. And I just don't know if people are ready for that one. Some of the stuff that I just throw up on my SoundCloud, I mean, you know, like the stuff that I've been throwing up on the Not Kevin Max page, I realized my official page isn't, I don't have the password on it on my studio computer. And so I just created another one and put, you know, just the random stuff up on that one. And like the song Cryptic Buffon, you know, it's just another one of these demos that I write when I'm got nothing else to do. And that song was written about 3 weeks ago, and I was just kind of goofing around, and I wrote it. And the same thing with the U2 thing. I mean, the you know, Brad Phillips and asked me to do a U2 song. And so the other day I'd come home from a project and I was just kind of sitting around. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to take a crack at So Cruel myself, because Eric and I were going to do it anyways. I was like, you know, let me just try to see what happens. And, you know, I kind of did that in a couple hours and threw it up there for fun. Eric and I are working on a song together. There's a guy called Dan. Oh, man, this is going to be bad because this is on a podcast. But I think his name is Dan White Jr. And he's an author. I believe he's a pastor. And the book is called Love Over Fear. And it's all about bringing people together. It's all about, you know, loving your enemy. Very timely book right now. Kind of bringing people together as far as, you know, all the separation and division that we have right now because of politics. He wrote this really cool book, and he asked me to, you know, write a song for the book. And so I sat down and wrote a song the other day, and Eric and I are going to do that. He's going to play guitar on it this next week. So stuff like I'm always writing, man, is what I'm trying to say. Yeah.
You know. I just don't want someone to find all these demos 30 years after you're gone. I mean, I just wanted to have that opportunity to come and listen to all those, you know.
Well, I mean, that's the point. That's why I do it, though, because I'm hoping that's what happens. Like, I want it to be like a Prince-type vault thing when you're like, oh, God, this guy had like 6 records, you know.
Well, and only half of them were passwords. Bad. Send us the passwords. We'll take care of it for you.
I would have a blast playing you some of these tunes because they're so out there. There's, I put a bunch of them up on SoundCloud a ways back, but they were really rough. Like Frog Stomp Boogie was one of them, and Wolves at Nine, and then I wrote a song called California Eyes, and they're all like these hippie psychedelic tunes that, you know. It's kind of like Jim Morrison meets Jack Kerouac, running from Charles Manson kind of thing. Mm.
So, all right. So you've got the cruise in June. You've got you and Michael are going to do this Christmas album. You're trying to figure out the Larry Norman thing.
Yeah.
What else you got?
And I've got four albums just sitting there ready to be made. If Pledge could get their their crap together, we do it through them. But obviously they've got some issues with management and money and everything. It's possible that I do one of these through Kickstarter, you know. I'm not afraid of Kickstarter, but I feel like Kickstarter is just a little bit more like you don't really nobody really manages that money. It's kind of like you make it and they send it to you, and then it's kind of up to you to manage it. And I'm not really good at that.
That's very similar to how Patreon is too. It's a very similar system.
I mean, that's what I liked about Pledge when they were working correctly, was like they had people managing that stuff for you, you know. So, I mean, you know, who knows? But there's tons of stuff coming out that I'm, you know, either singing on or working on. So there will be no shortage of stuff coming out from my little universe. I mean, the thing also too that's been bugging me is that there's no YouTube stuff of me performing live, and you know, with an acoustic guitar or a piano. And we're gonna change that with the Christmas thing. Tate and I are gonna do a few of those. If we do the Christmas thing like I think we're gonna do it, you know, there's got to be some moments of us just in front of a piano doing it on YouTube, you know, because the vocal thing live is to me even more important than it is recorded, you know.
Hey, one last thing I want to ask you about, I mean, not wrapping up or anything, I just one other question I have for you. You guest vocaled on Mark Martel's Bohemian Rhapsody cover album. You obviously played the Bowie to his Freddie on the, Under Pressure.
I did.
Tell me about your relationship there with Mark, and you know, you talk about you doing those videos. Mark kills that, you know, sitting at a piano, just hammering out a vocal, and I mean, he gets views on those like crazy, so it's definitely a good idea to go there. But tell me about your relationship with him.
Well, Mark is, I found out about Mark, it would have been probably towards the end of DC Talk. People were saying, you know, hey, this guy sounds a lot like you, and blah, blah, blah. Or maybe it was like the beginning of my solo career. I can't remember when Down Here really kind of came into being in the music industry. I can't
around
remember.
Around the same time, actually kind of right in between both of those things, so yeah.
Okay, yeah, so I started hearing, you know, hey, you gonna need to check out this band called Down Here because this guy sounds like you, and I'm like, and I'd heard that a lot, and so I listened to what they were doing. I was like, I don't think he sounds like me at all, you know? And fast forward to about 2009, you know, I was working on Fiefdom of Angels, and he got a hold of me and said, hey, you know, Down Here's in town. We'd like to stop by and, like, say hi to you, you know? Big fans. We just want to hang out. And I was like, okay, cool. Come on by my house. So they literally drove the tour bus in front of my house and all got out and kind of came in, and we all hung out and talked about music and everything. And that was around the time that Mark was trying out for Queen as far as sending in auditions, you know, because they were looking for the Queen Extravaganza person, right? So everybody was doing their own version of Queen and putting it up on YouTube and stuff, you know. And I said, well, I've got a Queen cover on YouTube called Save Me. It's going to beat yours. You better be better than that. And of course I ate my words because he destroyed me. And I wasn't going out for Queen, but you know, I thought in that moment when he was telling me about it, I was like, oh my gosh, you're going to crush this. Because nobody can sound like Freddie like you can. I mean, he sounds just like him. So it's just amazing. Throughout the years, we've been friends. He's always wanted to do a duet with me. So this kind of presented itself. And I've always wanted to do a duet with him. But he was the first one to ask. And he was really, really super cool about it. I was honored, you know. I'm like, man, out of all the stuff, being able to do the David Bowie thing is, of course, incredible. You know, barring the fact that Vanilla Ice ruined the song, you know, I do think it's still one of Queen's better tunes. And, yeah, I love doing it, man. I mean, The one I haven't heard him do that I kind of want to hear because it's one of my favorites is Another One Bites the Dust.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I haven't heard anybody do that yet, and that song's incredible. But yeah, singing that stuff in the studio with him was a blast. You know, and I didn't want to like sing just like David. I didn't want to do like a David Bowie impersonation because that's not what it was about. I felt like if I did that, it would have been pretty cheesy, you know. So I'm kind of glad that it is what it is. And, you know, some people on YouTube or whatever, I've seen a few comments like, he doesn't sound just like David Bowie. And I'm like, well, I'm not supposed to, you fools, you know.
Who does?
You know. I mean, yeah, go out and get a David Bowie impersonator, but why, you know?
Right.
Where Martin Martell has just been gifted that. I mean, it's not like he's trying to do that. That's his voice, you know. I think it's awesome.
You got the cruise coming up in less than 4 months. What are you looking forward to with this cruise, with DC Talk, and of course your own solo stuff?
Oh man, Brendan Gallagher singing, you know, in front of people. Karaoke.
Oh,
okay, cool.
He's not going to be able to pick any. He's not going to be able to pick anything cool. It's going to have to be something really, really, you know.
He's going to say God's not dead.
Oh my gosh, dude! What? No.
You're going to have to do, what's the one, from our? I love rap music. Yeah.
Okay. All right. keep it up, and I'm doing Justin Timberlake.
Maybe we'll get you to do a Carmen song. I don't know. Like, I just, you know. This cruise hopefully will be as vibrant and if not better than the last one. I know everybody hates cruises, you know, that's not on the cruise. Everybody kind of downs the idea of it, and I totally get it. I'm one of the people I understand that, you know, because I wouldn't go on a cruise either. I probably wouldn't, unless it was like Morrissey, then I might go on a cruise. if the Smiths got back together, I would definitely go on the cruise, you know. So I get that people come out because they're fans of the band, and I think it's amazing. I do think it is very difficult for people to see this show, and I can understand the hostility towards it. But, I mean, like we said from the very beginning, people just have to, you know, wait. It's coming around. It's going to take its time, you know, because everybody in the band is so stinking busy. With this cruise, I think what's going to be even better about it is I feel like the first time we just kind of worked out the kinks, you know. And, I mean, I got a text from Mark Townsend tonight saying he was listening to the board tape of the last one, just saying, man, it sounded so good. Even, you know, with like two rehearsals. So I think if we could, you know, if we get a little more rehearsals than we did the last time, this could be great. So speaking to the future of that, I feel like there's definitely more coming around the corner, and people will have to hold fast, as I say. But I'm excited about the cruise. I love singing karaoke. So I'm gonna have a blast at that. I'll tell you what, if I could be the cruise guy doing karaoke, like 80s hit karaoke stuff, I would do that for a living, you know.
Now I'm hearing, am I getting this straight? Are you doing two nights of karaoke?
I think I was wrong on that. I think I'm doing just one night. I could be doing two. I'm not completely sure about that. I do know that I'm performing three times solo. And I'm performing twice with DC Talk. I don't remember how many DC Talk shows there are. I think there's two this time.
I think so. I think that's right.
Yeah. But, I mean, hey, the people that have spent the money and are there for the experience, I think they're going to love it, you know, because this boat is, from what I've heard, you know, it's even better. And I believe that we're going to be performing on a bigger stage, so that's great too.
Speaking of all that, not to put you on the spot or anything, but what did you and Paul Meany talk about?
Oh, man. It was so cool. Like, he just kind of reached out to me, and we were kind of talking through Twitter, actually, instant messaging each other. And I said, man, I'm coming to New Orleans. I'm doing a show in Shreveport. Let's get together. And I was coming through New Orleans, like, the day before Halloween. So it was October 30th. And he's like, oh, man, this is perfect, you know. So he met me at my hotel. Then we got in his car, and we drove over to a place called The Columns, which is a really cool old, you know, restaurant, speakeasy kind of place. We had some good conversation, man. I mean, we talked about everything, Mute Math and what's been going on with that. You know, my solo music and what I've been doing, and his working with, he had just finished working with 21 Pilots, and so he was kind of telling me a little bit about that. I said, yeah, I mean, you know, if DC Talk are going to go in and make a record, you're the dude, in my opinion. And he's like, yeah. I mean, both he and Ryan Tedder are both, like, really into producing DC Talk, and I think we couldn't have two better producers, you know? I mean, just think about those two guys together producing a DC Talk record would be unbelievable, you know?
So it would be one of the best things to come out of the Christian music industry since Supernatural. So
I think, see here, you can quote me on this because I'm on the podcast, so I'm being quoted as I talk, right? So I just feel like it's a tragedy if that doesn't happen. Sure. Like, I just sit back and go, a new album needs to happen. Man, we have these kind of guys like Paul Meany and Ryan Tedder and guys from 21 Pilots that are fans. And I'm just like, man, the kind of record we could make, because we're all pretty, pretty mature songwriters at this point. And we all know how to write a song. And we all know how to perform it. So I feel like, man, I'm more excited about that than anything else. Like, I'm as big a DC Talk fan as anybody when it comes to being in the studio and recording. I feel like it's a shame that we haven't.
You know? Yeah, and Brennan said it'd be the biggest thing in Christian music. I think it would be. It would push through that.
Yeah, agreed.
Way far past that, and it would shatter the glass ceiling.
I agree.
I think so, if it was done right. You know what I mean? It's like a lot of bands come back after years and years and years. And I think this is the fear that might be in one or two of the different of the guys in the band. Not necessarily my fear, but I'm not trying to project that. Maybe that fear isn't there. But for a lot of people, it is a little concerning. You've been away for 15 years or so, and you come back and make a record. If you think about that, most groups that do that, the records aren't that great, you know? And so historically, that part of it's kind of failed. And so I feel like, but I think we're up to the task. I think, you know, DC Talk is a very strange band, and the fact that it's basically three leads, three songwriters with totally different ideas. And that's what makes it great. And, I think that it was Providence that brought us together. I truly believe that God had a hand in putting it all together and orchestrating it. And I feel like it's not going to lose if we do it. I think it's going to be an amazing win. I'm not even talking about success. I'm just talking about to be able to make this record. I feel like it would be an incredible album. I don't think it would be something to be ashamed of. So that's my two cents. Yeah. As the K in DC Talk, I say we need another album.
Agreed. I agree 100%. And, I was on the cruise, and I'll say this, you guys, I was blown away that it was two, three rehearsals, whatever it was. It looked like you guys didn't stop, like that there was no break at all. So if that's how the performance gels, I can't imagine how the songwriting would gel.
Yeah, I mean, the truth is, I mean, I'll just be bold right now and just say, like Liam Gallagher says, be bold. I am bold. I forgot the lyrics of the song, but I love that song. You know, it's like Toby's a great songwriter. Okay. I'm a great songwriter. Tate is a great songwriter. He's just not had the chance to rise to the occasion, in my mm-hmm. opinion, agreed. To do what he truly can do as a songwriter, you know? And it's obvious that we've got our thing down. We know how to, you know, sing. We know what we want to do stylistically. All the players are there, you know? And I think it's just coming up with a couple of songs to get it moving where people are just like, oh, wow, this is incredible, you know? And it's just that immediate, it's the catalyst. We need a catalyst to get it going. And I wouldn't be surprised if it happens sooner than later. I'm just saying that. I can't let any cats out of the bags because I don't have any cats in bags. But I would say I'd be surprised if it didn't happen sooner than later.
One of the catalysts that it seems to me like the last few years with all the division in society, and it focus, and a lot of that has been about stuff that DC Talk sang about many years ago, and I just feel like those things would still be something worth singing about.
Absolutely. I mean, the fact that we're so different, you know, there's a spectrum there of ideas, even worldviews, you know, and I feel like that's what makes the band great. Again, it's not, you know, a bunch of guys that are exactly the same. It's three very different people. And not to mention the fact that it's interracial, not to mention the fact that, you know, we have written in the past about, you know, specific social things. Wouldn't call ourselves a political band at all, but I definitely feel like DC Talk are one of those groups that, you know, when you see them live, when you see us live, when you see us wherever, it just sends a message because of the diversity, you know, and I think that's one of its strengths, you know. Also, in the past, the big strength obviously was Toby not being afraid or ashamed of you know, bringing what he believes spiritually to the table, and it's the same for Michael and I. I write differently than Toby when it comes to that, but. You know, I like it when he's bold. You know, I like it when it's in your face. I tend to be a little more subtle and poetic, or whatever you want to call it. But I dig that. And I think those two styles can still kind of go together too. So I think there's a lot there that could be still really. There's a lot that's still untapped. And when you get under the surface. And the serene waters from the top, you get underneath to the undertow, and you start digging into the real, real deep stuff, you know, and you're like Jules Verne, and you're going 100,000 leagues under. Then you start to get some interesting stuff happening, and I don't even think we've gone past the you know, couple hundred feet. So.
Well, Kevin, I know it's getting late, so. I just want to thank
you
for your time.
Or you're tired of hearing me ramble.
Oh, no. We could do this all night.
No,
look.
No. Trust me, but I know you're busy. I don't want to keep you. I just wanted to, this is kind of the prequel to our 5-hour show that we're going to do next time. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, I love that. Well, here's the thing. Is that we can film it, but then you can edit it down to an hour based on the songs that you actually like, and then you can help me. You can be like, okay, here's a record that you need to release out of all four of these records, you know, because that's literally what happens. I mean, you have to cut all the fat out, and then when you get to the good stuff, it's a process, you know, and that's one of the reasons I haven't just released all this stuff, because. You know, I'm not very subjective. I need somebody else to go like, yeah, that's, you know, that's probably something that just needs to stay in the vault.
Well, we're up for the
task. Case in point, Cryptic Buffon, you know, Cryptic Buffon probably doesn't need to be out there, but I was like, hey, you know, I was working on this song the other day, and I'm not a producer, I'm not an engineer, I'm just a hack keyboard player that can sing, you know? So here's my idea. But yeah, I mean, what I love about what you do is that your audience, they're really interested in music. And I think that the point here to all the DC Talk stuff and my stuff is that we're all really interested in music. You know, it's not a band that's based on money, or it's not a band that's based on flash, or like, you know, we got to have the hottest video or the number one single or all that. I mean, DC Talk is really about the music and about the album, you know, and that's how we grew up. We grew up making albums. And so I really would love to see us continue that, because the album is something that's kind of gone away now. It's been replaced by all these people that are just all about singles, you know, mm-hmm. And there's no room for failure then. It's just a bunch of number one single. I mean, there needs to be tracks on an album that are complete failures. and those are my favorite songs, you know?
Yeah.
People ask me, you know, what's your favorite DC Talk song off Supernatural? And, you know, I tend to say like Dive or whatever, because I like performing it live. But my favorite song on Supernatural is The Truth Is Out There, because it's just there's something odd about it that I love, you know, and maybe it's killing me, you know, and neither of those songs were singles, you know, but okay, now I'm done.
So last question, if you could push for one song on the Jesus Freak Cruise that you didn't do on the last one, what would that be?
It's a great question. I'm trying to think, like, the last cruise, what we did and what we didn't do, you know. Honestly, it's going to sound really, really weird, but I kind of dig if we did, like, Chance or Sugarcoat It.
Yes.
You know, because those songs never got any love, because they were just thrown on this compilation record, you know, or the greatest hits record. But those are the last two songs we wrote together. Like, I think Chance was the last song we wrote together, you know? And it's pretty cool. Like, if you play the first one we wrote together, Heaven Bound, and then do the last one we wrote together, Chance, it's kind of interesting, you know?
As of now, last one you wrote together. Well, thank you so much, Kevin.
Brothers.
We really appreciate it. That was our interview with Kevin Max. I'd like to thank Kevin Max. I'd like to thank Brendan Gallagher for actually coming and doing something.
For once.
I put out the bat signal and he came. So, yeah, there was a lot to unpack in that interview. You know, for those that have listened to this show, one thing to unwrap from that interview is the Michael Tate collaboration that we talked about in the interview. We kind of broke that in with Michael Tate in an earlier episode.
Yeah, Michael Tate was kind of dropping hints that maybe there was something on the horizon with that a couple episodes ago.
Yeah, and that he kind of put that out there. The internet responded in a very positive manner, and it looks like it is coming into fruition, as they say. And it looks like that might be a real thing. And that's probably something to look forward to in a few months when the Christmas albums start to drop. We may have that Kevin Max, Michael Tate collaboration that will tickle our eardrums a little bit.
When was the last time that you were excited for a Christmas album to come out? I always look forward to what August Burns Red does. Back in the day, there was Happy Christmas. But when is the last time you were on the edge of your seat thinking, I can't wait until a Christmas album comes out?
Yeah, I mean, Christmas music always tends, there's always like songs that get overdone, just like any genre. But
Reliant K had a really good Christmas album.
Yeah, they did. But this, yeah, definitely, this is one that I'm looking forward to. And you could check that out. Check his social media out for updates. I know he's going to be working on that in the coming months. And make sure to send, like, encouraging words. Like, make sure that this happens. Like, say, hey, how's it going?
Yeah, remind him about it every day.
Yes.
Remind Michael Tate about it every day.
Because we want this to happen. And, you know, if you see Michael Tate out on the road during Winter Jam, say, hey, how's that album coming?
Winter Jam's been going pretty well, too, from the things that I've seen on social media.
Yeah, I actually was in Pittsburgh last night. Winter Jam was there. I wasn't there myself, but I saw a lot of traffic, and it seems like it's been a good show. Kevin Max also dropped, speaking of the Newsboys, he said that he might be actually going out on the road with them this fall. So that's going to be, you know, seeing them, those two on stage, I mean, that's going to be an even bigger bonus.
We're so close. I mean, we're so close to having something on land.
We have the cruise coming up in June, and that's, again, that's a step, but, you know, we just gotta keep hoping and praying and whatever. Yeah, so there's a lot to unpack from that. You know, we talked about the Larry Norman thing. Hopefully that something gets worked out there and we can figure something out with that project. But once again, thanks, Kevin Max. We greatly appreciate your company. We look forward to the 5-hour podcast that we're going to be doing with him sometime in the future. Probably not 5 hours, but
I would listen to 5 hours of content.
Of course. I mean, who would not listen to 5 hours of Kevin's voice and lovely content? So yeah, we are going to be headed off into the sunset for this regular podcast.
But if you want to hear more,
yes, check out our bonus episode exclusively at patreon.com/decentchristiantalk. We will be talking more about DC Talk as we cover Supernatural that just celebrated its 20th year anniversary. So you don't want to miss that. That's at patreon.com/decentchristiantalk. And where can you find us?
You can find us all over social media, Twitter at DC Talk Act 2. You can find us on, I believe, Instagram.
Instagram, DC Talk Podcast. We're on Facebook. We have a page that you can like, and we also have a group discussion page, Decent Christian Talk Podcast. We've been having some fun Talk Back Tuesdays on there. We've been having some fun discussions.
Max also has a Facebook Talk Back
page.
Does.
He has a Facebook page called The Fiefdom of Kevin Max.
It's very interactive if you've never heard of it.
If you're a Kevin Max fan and you're not in that, you need to get in that group.
Unless you're unruly, then we will vote you out.
You will be banished. We are on, we're on iTunes, we're on Spotify, we are on YouTube. We have over 3,000 subscribers on YouTube. That blows my mind.
That's crazy.
Yeah. One thing you guys could do for us, we kind of mentioned it earlier, if you're listening to us on iTunes, give us a nice review. That helps us out. We've been gaining listeners, but we also need those reviews to help boost our, I don't know.
Climb the charts a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, that helps us out in the algorithms, as they say. And, of course, we have our website, decentchristiantalk.com. There is a place on there you can also donate to us if you're more into a one-time donation. You can check us out on there. You can donate to us through PayPal. And we post all our shows on there as well. And we would just like to thank you for joining us. And once again, the most favorite thing that you do besides joining us on Patreon is sharing it with a friend. If you know a DC Talk fan, if you know a Kevin Max fan, and they've not heard the show,
if you know a fan of good music,
share it on your social media. Share this on your... I text it to a friend. You know, we appreciate that. That's our favorite thing that you guys do.
Yeah.
So we will catch you next time.
Don't forget to tip your waiters and waitresses. Thanks.
Peace.
Don't forget to tip your waiters and waitresses. Thanks.